And if you are struggling in your own walk, your own faith, today, call upon the Lord. I would like first to say a big welcome. I see our brother Miguel in the back. Raise your hand, Miguel. This is Miguel. Mina and Miguel arrived this week from Portugal, and they came here 5 or more years ago on a honeymoon when they just got married. If you, some of you may remember, some of you might not know them. They were interested in staying longer and living here, but on their honeymoon, after a couple of months, they found they were expecting their first already, so they did not waste time. So they ended up back in Portugal for some time, but now they're here to stay with us. So church family, I want you to be sure to welcome Brother Miguel and his wife Mina and baby, not baby anymore, he's 3 years old, but Santiago, okay? So welcome, Miguel. Let's give him a hand. I look forward to spending some more time together again in the coming years ahead of us. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We've been praying for them, by the way, for some time to be able to come back. This morning, we're moving on in our Romans chapter 12 as we look into what a transformed mind is like. Romans chapter 12. And today we're talking about payback. Payback. You know what payback is? You do me dirty, I'm going to get you back. That's payback. You do me wrong, look out, you're in trouble. Payback. Now, a lot of the world has this thinking about payback. You know, Jesus says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? A lot of people in the world is like, I'll do unto others before they do it unto me. This is the world's thinking. And I'm urging us today to look at what does a transformed mind, don't be conformed, but be transformed. What does a transformed mind view payback as? Look at verse 17 of Romans 12. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray. Lord, open our hearts, our eyes, our understanding. May we better understand what you are saying to us here about how we, as those who are being renewed daily, as those who are being transformed into the image of your Son Jesus, how we are to view payback and vengeance and getting even with people. Lord, may we reflect you more in our lives. And yes, Lord, if there's any struggling with their own faith, may today they call on Jesus for the first time. Lord, please, we beg of you, do a work in our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. Question, how many of you have seen the Lord of the Rings trilogy? You know, the Fellowship of the Ring and all these. Very good. A lot of us. How many would classify yourselves as a big fan of the Lord of the Rings movies? Big fan, big fan. Okay, a few of you, a few of you. Some of you, yes, big fans. Very good. I remember a couple of weeks, Gretchen, she's a big fan of the Lord of the Rings, and she and some friends, Ashay and I don't know who else, decided to have a Lord of the Rings marathon, and that is watching all the Lord of the Rings films in one day. The extended versions, not the normal versions like most of us would tend to watch, but the extended ones. I can't do that. I enjoy watching them, but my goodness, I just couldn't do that. Oh. Anyway, Most, from what I've read too, many think that the author of The Lord of the Rings, who's the author? Tolkien, okay? J.R. Tolkien. Many think he was a Christian. I can't verify this for sure, but while it's not overtly expressed in his films, if you look carefully, the gospel and elements of the faith is in there from time to time. And this message isn't about the Lord of the Rings, but there is a scene in one of the films which kind of illustrates this passage that we read in Romans 12. The scene was when the main hobbit, what was his name? What was the main hobbit's name? The head guy. Starts with an F. Frodo. The main hobbit was having a conversation with the main wizard. And what was his name? The white bearded guy, Gandalf. They were having a talk about this ugly little character. And the ugly little guy, the mean little vicious guy's name? Huh? Sméagol or? Gollum. Okay. I'm not sure when he's called Sméagol and when he's called Gollum. I'll let the experts decide that later. Okay, so they're having a conversation. And the scene takes place in the mines of Moria. And Frodo says to... leave Sam out. Frodo says to Gandalf, he says, "What a pity that Bilbo did not stab that vile creature when he had the chance. He hated Gollum, and he's an evil, mean guy. What a pity that Bilbo did not stab that vile creature." Gandalf says, "Pity? It was pity that stayed his hand. Pity and mercy, not to strike without need. That's why Bilbo was not harmed by the ring, because he began his possession of it with pity." Frodo replies, "I cannot understand you. Gollum deserves death." "Deserves it? I dare say he does. Many that live deserve death, and some that die deserve life. Can you give it to them? Then do not be too eager to deal out death and judgment. For even the wise cannot see all ends." And so this is the wise wizard's response to the young Frodo for desiring to put an end to this evil little creature, this nasty being called Gollum. He was indignant because this little nasty vile creature had tried to kill his uncle and now betrayed them as well. And he was still alive. But Gandalf is in essence echoing the words here of Romans chapter 12, verse 17. "Repay no one evil for evil." And then down in verse 21, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Now, once again, this thinking is contrary to the natural mind, contrary to the pattern of the world. If you remember, the context of this is in Romans chapter 12 that begins telling us, don't be conformed. Don't cut out your life by the pattern of this world. We have a different pattern. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That pattern that we base our lives on and cut our lives around now is the Word of God. And it's different. We think different. Our natural instinct is to defend, to lash out, and yes, to pay back. You wrong me, I'm going to wrong you. You do something bad to me, you better watch out because I'm going to get back at you. But this presents the idea that Christians, who are people whose minds are being transformed by the Word of God, whose minds are being renewed so that we may live in conformity to God's will, not the pattern of the world around us, we are to think about ourselves differently. We saw that we're to think about ourselves soberly. That is not high and mighty, but with sober judgment about who we are. We also saw how we're to sincerely love, not with hypocrisy, but a genuine kind of love, the kind of love that seeks what is spiritually best for the other person, the kind of love that is constant no matter what. And now, here we see it involves, that kind of love involves loving our enemy. Not just loving our friends and family, those who care about us and know us and love us, but also loving those who do us wrong. I remember years ago a sticker on a car that best illustrated the thinking and attitude and mind of the world. The sticker on the car simply says, "You touch of my car, I touch of your face." I don't know if you've seen that, but "You touch of my car, I touch of your face." And that's the attitude of the world, isn't it? You do me wrong, I'm going to do you wrong back. Something's got to change, though, in the life of a follower of Jesus Christ. Something changes. And that's not something that we can just do ourselves. God changes us, but yes, we must be willing to cooperate with Him, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. How many in this room, show of hands, how many in this room have never been hurt by anyone in their life? Come on. How many in this room have never had somebody do something on purpose to them, in action or in word or anything evil done to them? We all have. Every one of us. So what's been your reaction? How have you reacted before? Do you retaliate? Do you hurt them back? God says there's a different way for the transformed mind. But first of all, let's take a look at this. What is the problem with payback? There's a problem with payback. It's not the way. It's not God's way. There are problems with it. First of all, the first problem with payback. Payback is a never-ending cycle. Payback is a never-ending cycle. You see, with payback, it is simply hurt that leads to more hurt, which will lead to more hurt, and it goes on and on and on. This is the cycle. You see rival gangs in big cities and things like that. This is how they live by. Man, you wrong us, and you hurt one of our guys, and we're going to hurt one of you guys. You kill one of our guys, we kill one of you guys. And so that perpetuates this endless cycle, and it happens between people, it happens between communities, it can happen between countries, and it goes on and on. It's a never-ending cycle. But secondly, we see payback shows a lack of trust in God. It's a lack of trust. Look at Proverbs 20, verse 22. Do not say, "I will recompense evil." Wait for the Lord, and He will save you. Simple, isn't it? Don't say, "I'm going to get even. I'm going to pay back." Wait for the Lord. He will save you. One who trusts the Lord will leave these things up to God. It's not my place. It's not my job to recompense evil. I will just wait on the Lord. So payback, though, shows a lack of trust in God. I don't trust God to handle things properly. I'm going to get even myself. I don't trust that God knows what He's doing. I don't trust that God sees everything that happens. I'm going to handle things my way, take care of things my way. A lack of trust. As Christians, we surely should be living lives that show that God's power is ultimate and that good will prevail, rather than continuing the cycle of evil by paying it back with evil. We should seek to overcome evil with good. That's our role. That's our job here on earth. Of course, there is a place for wrongdoing to be punished. In Romans 13, the next chapter discusses that, the place of civil government to reward those who do good, to punish those who do wrong. And God has established government for such things, to protect people in a sin-filled world. And this is not to say as Christians we don't desire justice. Justice is needed. We need to live in a civilized country that has justice. But if your house gets robbed by somebody, Let's, maybe your house has been robbed before. Raise your hand if you've had a burglary in your house. Burglaries? You've been robbed? Really? Not that many? Really, lift your hand up. I'm serious. I'm curious. Who's been robbed at home? Here in this country, say. Okay. Got a number of us. Too many to be sure. But let's say someone is caught robbing your house and they took many valuables. What then? Yes, we want justice to be done. What they did was wrong, and where possible, we want restitution. I want back my things, or I want to be paid back for them if at all possible. This is justice. But you are not to seek payback. You know, you come and rob my house, well, I'm going to find out where you live, and I'm going to go rob your house. Is that what we Christians do? Of course not. Of course not. Trust in the Lord. In fact, your prayer should be for them. Listen, your prayer should be for them to come to know the Lord too. Your prayer should be for them to come to know forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Your prayer should be for them that they should be set free from the bondage of sin that they're in. The Bible says they're slaves to sin. Pray for them. Don't seek payback. And third problem of payback is the desire for payback also shows a lack of true regeneration. It does. Look at Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians 4, verse 31. Follow along. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Put it away. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, and finally forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Saying we have here an example of God, what God did for us. And that's our example. How do you forgive others? As God forgave you. Our model is Him. We who have been forgiven so much cannot help but extend forgiveness to others. When at the time you came to understand your need for a Savior, your need for forgiveness, you were confronted with your own sin, your own self, and the Spirit of God began convicting you inside to the point that you realized you needed Him, and you came in sincere faith and trust, and you confessed your sin, and you repented and asked Him to forgive you. And you walked away with a feeling that you were so much lighter with the burden of sin off of your shoulders. The feeling that comes when you are restored to your Creator God. What a joy that was. How can you not go from there and be willing to extend forgiveness for someone who's wronged you? It shows, if you do that, it shows you really have not understood true regeneration, what God has done for you. To be able to walk away from how much He's forgiven you and given you eternity, and walk away from that and get payback to everybody who wrongs you. It shows a lack of understanding. God knows you have to let go of this. It's not good for us to hang on to. It destroys. So let's look at now how we overcome evil with good. How do we overcome evil with good? How does this work? And first of all, let's just say, let God be God. Let God be God. You're not God. Let Him be God. You see, when we take it upon ourselves to repay evil for evil, then we are trying to take God's role as judge. We are saying, God, I don't trust you enough. I don't believe you are going to judge like I would like to see it done. Like I know what's best. And we are not equipped to do that. You see, God will always judge truly and rightly. He knows all the facts. He knows all the circumstances. And often we are just hasty and emotionally charged when it comes to trying to make judgments like this. But God sees everything. He knows everything. Even in our law courts, we have all kinds of checks and balances because our desire is to make sure that someone is proved guilty beyond all reasonable doubt. We don't want to wrongly accuse somebody. And so our court systems have all these checks and balances to make sure that justice is done to the best of our abilities. But how about our own personal situations that we face every day? Where's the checks and balances? We don't know all things. We can't know all things. We don't have all the angles. We don't see all the circumstances. We have to trust God. God knows what is best. Let God be God. Gandalf was right when he said to young Frodo, he says, even the wise cannot see all ends. In other words, even the wise people can't see everything. Even those who are really smart and onto it, they can't know all the circumstances. It's not possible. So don't be too quick to dispense your own form of judgment. And furthermore, when God judges, His punishment is fair and just. He will always determine what the evildoer really deserves. We tend to want them to suffer even more than their actions made us suffer. You hurt me, I want you to hurt twice as much. We're not very good at justice, in fact. We're lousy at it. Rather than merely seeking to repay evil with evil, we become an evildoer ourselves if we go down this path. Let God be God. And next, we need to be aware that evil is always expecting to be repaid with evil. Evil itself wants to grow. It's like that fire. A fire wants to spread, it wants to grow, it never has enough, it never says, I'm finished. It wants more to consume. Evil always wants to grow. It wants to be perpetuated. And that's why evil can play on our emotions and draw out anger in us and leads to hurtful responses to create even more harm. It thrives upon this. It thrives upon these cycles, retaliation, payback, and it grows and grows and grows. However, evil becomes totally disarmed when it doesn't perpetuate itself, when the response to evil is met with grace and kindness, and it disarms it. When that circuit is broken, the power of evil is broken. When that circuit is broken, it has nowhere else to grow to perpetuate. And God calls us Christians to be circuit breakers, to stop this perpetuation of evil. Many of Jesus' mighty things that he did was circled around this breaking of the circuit of evil. When those men dragged in that woman that was caught in adultery, they threw her before Jesus' feet. They cast her down, and they were wanting to lay down the law upon her. They were wanting her to suffer. They were wanting to stone her, to put her to death. And the Bible describes Jesus, and we don't know exactly what he did when he sat down and was writing in the sand. But between that and his statement that he said to her, he who has no sin, let him cast the first stone. And everyone dropped their stones. And that lady, that woman, went away from there with that cycle of evil that was broken. And she saw grace, and she saw mercy in Jesus Christ. And she went away cleansed, she went away renewed, she went away forgiven. And Jesus calls upon us to be that circuit breaker. Break the circuit of evil. Don't perpetuate it. Be aware that evil expects to be repaid with evil. Thirdly, be aware that sometimes evil can react to kindness with scorn. We read in verse 18, if it is possible, As much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. You see, Paul says this because he understands sometimes that's not going to be a possibility. And sometimes your kindness and your grace is going to be met with scorn and hatred. And that's why he says, as much as it is possible, as much as depends on you, let it not be said it's because you didn't respond with grace and kindness and mercy. And sometimes people will just spit in your eye no matter what. But never let it be said because you did not extend the love of God. Back to our Lord of the Rings. A while later, Frodo had the chance. He actually met this Gollum guy, and he had the chance to kill him. But he didn't. He stopped. He showed pity. He showed mercy to him. And you know what happened next? This nasty, evil little creature led him, after the mercy and kindness showed, led him into a trap. Into a trap, and that almost took his life, should have taken his life. What was that trap? Those of you who are the spider, wasn't it? That this is the worst part of the movie. I hate it. I hate spiders, for one thing. But this thing is ginormous, and it can eat a whole person. And this is what that creature did. Even after the grace and the mercy and the pity that was shown to him, and he turned and did this. What is your response to those who sought to harm? What is your response to those who seek to harm you? Verse 20. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, what? Feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. This goes against our nature. Those who are enemies, those who seek to do us wrong and harm us. If he's hungry, give him some food. If he's thirsty, give him some drink. Why would I do that to my enemy? For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. I've met many Christians who like this verse. Somehow in their thinking, they think that somehow by doing good, if you just listen to God and be nice to somebody, it's going to really burn them. You know, you're going to heap coals of fire on their head, and that's a good thing. Get them, God. And so your desire, your motive for showing kindness is that God is going to really nail them. God is going to put the coals of fire on their head, whatever that means. Listen, I want to suggest to you that this is not what it's talking about. You're not just trying to dump coals on somebody's head and smile at them while you're doing it. Most of what I've read on this particular passage indicates that Paul here was speaking of a well-known custom, an Egyptian custom of the time. And so all the readers that were reading this understood coals of fire on the head. Yep, yep, yep. And it wasn't about making them burn. You know, third degree burns, God. You know, really dump the coals, heat them up. No, you see, this custom was that when a person wanted to show public contrition, remorse, a sorrow for what they had done, that they would carry a pan of burning coals on their head, not burning their scalp or anything, but they would carry this on their head. It was some kind of a custom thing that was done, representing the burning pain of shame and guilt. They had shame, they had guilt, and it burned them, and they had shown it in this way. So therefore, with this understanding in mind of what it was about, as a Christian, our desire is not to cause them third-degree burns from the cold dumping on their head, but our desire is that we extend grace and mercy to them that may lead them to true remorse and guilt and contrition over their own actions, that they may also come to repentance and faith. That's our desire. That is to be our desire as believers, followers of Christ, to those who have wronged us. And may we extend grace to them so that they also may in turn come to know that same grace that we have met. That they may know what the forgiveness of Jesus Christ is all about themselves. That's our desire, not to harm them, not to kind of show them kindness with some ulterior motive that they're really going to get burned in another way. God will get them, and I'm going to wait and see what God's going to punish them. Maybe a piano is going to fall down from the sky and crush them. No. Our desire, though, is that they, through this grace that is shown, would come to know the grace of Jesus Christ. And finally, live at peace. Again, verse 18, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Live peaceably as much as is possible, as much as depends on you. It doesn't all depend on you, but you do what God would have you to do. And you seek to restore relationship. Christianity is about restored relationships. Our relationship with God that is severed, it's restored through Jesus Christ. And we're to love God, we're to love others. We're in the restoration business. Restore relationships with other people. He says, as much as depends on you, if it is possible, live at peace. Live peaceably with all men. I'd like to invite you right now to stand with your head bowed and listen to something. Would you stand with me? Head bowed, eyes closed. But listen to this passage in 1 Peter, chapter 2. Peter says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that we should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Christ is our example. We're to follow him. I don't know if anyone here wears those old bracelets that have the letters WWJD on them. That, of course, stands for What Would Jesus Do? To be a reminder. But it's worth asking, what would Jesus do if someone treated him badly or did the wrong thing by him? I think we know the answer. Did people treat him poorly? Did they say false things about him? Did they accuse him? Did they hurt him? The answer, of course, is yes. But still, he showed them grace, mercy, as he laid his life down. And some of his last words, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." And then we are to be followers of Jesus, walking in his steps. We have no right to judge those who wrong us. It's not our place to seek vengeance, payback, retaliation. Show them kindness. Show them grace. Show them mercy. And in so doing, pray for them that they may come to know the peace of Jesus, that they may know his grace, his forgiveness, the same grace and forgiveness and peace that you found in him. Pray for those who may be against you, who may be what you call an enemy, that they may come to faith in Jesus too. Let God be God. Trust Him. Trust Him with these things. And you just walk in the steps of Jesus. I'd like to give us a few moments to respond to the Lord. If you would like to come and spend some time with the Lord at this time, the invitation is open. And yes, if there's any here who may not know the Lord, they've not come to that faith, I invite you to come forward. Come and take me by the hand and just say, Pastor Ken, I want to trust Jesus this morning. I need Him in my life. I need His grace. I need Him. Next few moments, though, the invitation is open. Would you come? Would you like to come at this time? Be in prayer. Respond as the Lord is speaking to your heart, as the Spirit is convicting your heart. Respond to Him. Next few moments. Lord, we thank You for the grace that we've been shown by Jesus. Even while we were sinners and enemies of Him, He extended His grace to us. And now He calls upon us as followers of Him to extend that grace to others. Others who wrong us, mistreat us, talk bad of us, are evil to us. And Lord, we do so in the prayer that even they would come to know the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness that we found in Jesus. Give us this kind of love for people around us, not just love those who love us, those who are easy to love, but those who treat us evil. May we walk in the steps of our Savior. May we reflect Jesus Christ to others around us. May they see Him in us. May the Father be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take a seat at this time. We have a few announcements that Brother Rene is going to bring us. Do remember to pray for Mike and Gina as they're away a couple of more days, enjoying their 30th anniversary getaway, I believe in Fiji as well. I've seen a few selfies on Facebook. Looks like they're having a wonderful time, so praise the Lord for that.
Thank you, Pastor Ken, for the message this morning. Just pray that you will be able to respond to God's message to us. Get a couple of announcements before we finally dismiss. First, if you're visiting IBC for the first time, I would like to welcome you to our welcome lounge. We have some free coffee for you. You want to learn more about our church, so you're invited to come to our welcome lunch. Next, please.
Do we go to that afterwards?
Crèche workers, for ages birth to 2 years old, you urgently need some several ladies to work with a crèche, with the children. If you are not necessarily ladies through or mothers, but you love children, working with children, you're we urgently needed to work with us. Please see Pastor Chad or Jillian
if you want to go earlier.
You're interested.
You have to go earlier.
Next, please.
Why?
A biblical survivor's guide for to preparing for marriage and after you marry. This is being handled by Brother Bernard and Helen Lee, and they are meeting every Fridays fortnightly. If you're interested to join this this group, you may also see Brother Daniel and May and talk to them about this biblical survivor's guide, all right, for marriage, and not only for married, but also for those who are planning to get married.
He looks 13.
All right, next please. Friday night, fortnightly Bible studies happening fortnightly, 7 p.m., open to men and women. We see Pastor Ken or Jen. I think they're doing this alternately.
Yes, fortnight. Ladies and the mixed group alternate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So if you're interested, please see Pastor Ken or Jen about this. Thank you. Next, please. Working Bee on Saturday. If you're able and willing to come on Saturday to help some painting jobs over here or cleaning up. Yes, we'll.
If you plan to come, bring some, like, if you got some hand tools or something, regarding that would be helpful, a bucket even, gloves, just stuff like that to help us get the work done, basically. And then we can get it done a bit easier.
Yes, if you need more information about this, please see Gavin. Next, please. Overcomer Support Group, continuing Sunday evenings, happening this afternoon from 5 to 7. So if you're interested in joining this group, it's offering help and hope for people who are going through difficulties. Please see Pastor Ken today if you want, because Pastor Mike is still away.
Okay.
Next, please. Well, our schedule for Easter week, Palm Sunday service on March 20. 8:30 to 11 a.m. And then Lord's Supper happening on the March, that's a Thursday, at 7 p.m. So, and Easter Sunday service on March 27, 8:30, followed by a continental breakfast, 10 a.m. So we don't have any other classes after this. And this is only the first, the service that we'll be having on this Easter Sunday. And church family fellowship happening on Monday, the following day after, here in IBC, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Shared the picnic and games. If you want to bring some board games and ready to play volleyball and other games, so please come and join us on the 28th of March.
Amen.
And that's all for our announcements. And now let's take time to meet our brothers and sisters who are celebrating birthday from today to Saturday. Anybody? I know one, but where's Mono? She's not here today. Anybody else? No? Oh, there's Mono. Sorry, Mono. I don't feel birthday. I didn't see you, sorry. Anybody else? No one else? So what about anniversary? No, I think it's only Mono for today. So let's sing happy birthday. Woo! Let's all stand up and let's ask Pastor Ken to close us in a word of prayer.
Happy birthday to you.
Let's be dismissed in prayer together and be sure to have some fellowship with others before you head out. Father, thank you for your love to us. Thank you for the example of Jesus Christ who have forgiven us everything. And Lord,